Radio Prague News.
Two right-wing extremists face potentially tough sentences if found guilty of firebombing. The Supreme Court has upheld a six-year sentence for a motorist who struck and killed two people 2 years ago. And the government has agreed to a compromise deal on judges' back pay. Czech right-wing radicals 24-year-old Tomáš Kopecký and 34-year-old Michal Poláček, who were allegedly members of the neo-Nazi organization Blood and Honor and the militant grouping Combat 18, could face exemplary sentences for an attack on a hostel occupied by Roma residents. The two appeared in court on Monday on charges of attempted murder. Seven others are also facing charges in connection with the case for the propagation of hatred and racial intolerance. The attack itself took place in Aš, northwest Bohemia, in February of 2012. The two main suspects are accused of firebombing a building occupied by mostly Roma families with children. The inhabitants were able to put out the fire. No one was hurt in the incident. The country's Supreme Court has upheld a six-year prison sentence for a motorist who caused the deaths of two pedestrians on a Prague bridge 2 years ago. The lower instance court found the driver, who is 67, was an epileptic who had kept quiet about his illness to be able to keep his license. He most likely suffered a seizure while behind the wheel, losing control and driving onto the sidewalk. He struck three people, two of whom were knocked from the bridge into the Vltava River below. The body of one of the victims was found in the water several weeks later. The government on Monday backed a three-day-old compromise agreement reached between negotiators last week over back pay for judges. On Friday, negotiators agreed to set aside 1.2 billion crowns to pay judges and state part of their claims for 3 years of back pay. The claims follow a court ruling that the state failed to calculate their pay rates properly from 2009. State payments have been estimated as high as 5 billion crowns to settle the claims. The Monday decision by the cabinet to agree to the deal was reportedly a close one. Justice Minister Helena Válková opted not to reveal more, other than the fact that Finance Minister and head of ANO Andrej Babiš abstained. Hinek Mongicek, former ambassador and current foreign affairs advisor to President Miloš Zeman, could replace Petr Gandalovich as ambassador to the United States, Financial Daily Hospodarske Noviny writes. According to the Daily, the appointment of a leftist candidate, unlike Mr. Gandalovich of the opposition Civic Democrats, is likely given the current political constellation, a center-left government and foreign minister, as well as left-of-center president. The Daily suggests the move could already have gone through, but for two U.S. visits lined up for President Zeman in 2015. The Daily reports that a changing of the guard prior would be less than strategic. Past ambassadors to the U.S. include close aides to the late President Václav Havel, Alexander Vondra, and Michal Žantovský. The latter is the current Czech ambassador to the U.K. In other news, officers from the organized crime unit on Monday secured areas outside a police building which houses the offices of Brno's anti-corruption unit, the Czech news agency reported. Four police cars, two vans, and two unmarked cars blocked off the street in front of the building while police in full gear, including balaclavas, formed a perimeter, surprising some passers-by. The spokesman for the anti-corruption police, Yaroslav Ibehe, later stressed that the raid had nothing to do with the police bureau on site, but was an investigation into a violent crime in the area. The spokesman declined to reveal additional details. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, a major loophole has emerged in supervision of care for the elderly. We've a roundup of the latest sports news, and in this week's one-on-one, we meet Adrian T. Bell, who's just won one of the most prestigious prizes in Czech rock music, despite being from the United Kingdom. So that's coming up, and stay with us. Czech Ombudswoman Anna Šabatová is ringing the alarm regarding the conditions in which some senior citizens live in old people's homes that fail to provide adequate care. The spotlight on several such homes has underscored a serious problem in a country with an ageing population. Daniela Lazarova reports.
Excessive use of tranquilizers, physical restraint, poor quality food, dehydration and lack of qualified medical care. Those were among the failings cited by the ombudswoman in four facilities in different parts of the country. Ms. Shabatova claims that the findings in these particular homes are just the tip of the iceberg in a problem area that is in urgent need of attention. The country's population is aging and the social services provided are inadequate. The lack of registered old age homes, for which there are long waiting lists, has led to the establishment of facilities which double as old age homes but do not register as such and thereby do not need to fulfil the said criteria or open their doors to inspectors. Ombudswoman Anna Shabatova.
Under Czech law, you cannot provide this social service without registration. But these facilities have found a way of bypassing the law. They take in seniors on a rental contract and claim that they are merely providing accommodation with some services for the elderly. In this manner, they avoid any kind of supervision, and very often they take the client's entire pension, although the law says that they should be allowed to keep 15%, no matter how small the pension is.
The homes in question have reacted with hostility to the media attention surrounding them, saying that since they're not registered as institutions providing social services, they do not have to explain anything. According to the Ombudswoman's office, there are now 80 such institutions operating around the country. The media attention surrounding the story has moreover put the spotlight on other problems in the field. Gerontologists point out that even registered homes leave a lot to be desired, and that state inspections in them are few and far between. The head physician of Prague's gerontology centre, Iva Holmerova, told Czech television that this area of care falls partly under the Ministry of Labour and partly under the Ministry of Health, which do not cooperate very well in providing adequate supervision. Inspections often focus more on administrative matters than the conditions in which the elderly live, and the actual quality of medical care is often too complex a matter for the inspectors to judge. The Ombudswoman has said she wants to inform the Prime Minister in detail about the problem and ask the government to put more money into social services for the elderly. However, as new facts emerge on the problems in this field, it is clear that the whole system may need a thorough overhaul if the country is to be able to provide dignified living conditions for the elderly. This would involve not just close cooperation with municipalities, but also better conditions for families to act as caregivers.
Daniela Lazarova on the scandal surrounding care of the elderly in some Czech facilities. And now Ian Willoughby joins us for a roundup of some of the latest sports news.
The biggest story in Czech sport this weekend was without doubt a terrible crash involving skier Andrej Bank at the Alpine World Ski Championships in Beaver Creek in the US on Sunday. The collision came near the finish of the downhill portion of the Alpine Combined when Bank was in the middle of a fast run and stumbled just before his final jump, losing control as he went over it. The good news is that though the crash looked dramatic, it's already been viewed hundreds of thousands of times on the internet. The 34-year-old suffered nothing worse than concussion, bruised bones, a sprained ankle and cuts on his face, and was allowed to leave hospital and spend the night at his hotel. There, Bank, who was in good spirits, spoke to Czech radio.
I don't remember the cause. I only remember the result, which was that I went through the gate head first, not skis first. But the guys told me that my skis slid or got stuck in deep snow, and that's what threw me. I was kind of trying a new track there, but I didn't expect the snow to be so deep. I remember starting to fall, and that's all I remember. I haven't seen it yet, but everybody tells me it was brutal.
Moving on to tennis, and the Czech women's team have reached the semifinals of the Fed Cup after defeating Canada 4-love in Quebec at the weekend. Debutante Karolina Pliskova secured victory for the favourites with a 6-4, 6-2 win over Gabriela Dabrowski in the third rubber. The Czech ladies advanced to the last four without their two highest-ranked players, Petra Kvitova and Lucia Shafashova. And non-playing captain Petr Pala says it's too early to say what his team will look like in the next round.
It's a very broad team, which I'm really pleased about. We'll see how it is in April. I think we could even put together two teams that would be equally good. And if they played one another, I don't know which would win.
The Czechs are defending champions and have won the Fed Cup in three of the last 4 years. They'll face France in April for a place in the final on home ground. However, securing a venue has been complicated by the fact the World Ice Hockey Championship will be taking place in Prague and Ostrava very soon afterwards. And finally, the biggest spectator event in Czech sport at the weekend was the Baflin World Cup in Nové Město na Moravě, which drew just over 100,000 fans, around a third more than previously. And local supporters had plenty to cheer, with the Czech team taking silver in the mixed relay, Veronika Vítková picking up bronze in the sprint, and Michal Schlesinger and Gabriela Sokalova coming in fifth. That's all the sports news for today.
The Apollo Album of the Year prize has, in the space of 3 or 4 years, become the most prestigious award in Czech rock and pop music, analogous to the Mercury Award in the United Kingdom. This year, the Apollo has gone, perhaps surprisingly, to the Englishman Adrian T. Bell. He's Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's edition of One on One. It's such a different
world to what it was. Last week, Different World by Englishman Adrian T. Bell picked up the prestigious Apollo Critics Award for Best Czech Album of 2014. While the record was his solo debut, Bell has been a fixture on the local music scene for over a decade, as frontman for the indie band The Prostitutes. The day after his Apollo success, we discussed his unlikely start with the group and what led to his solo outing. But we first discussed an earlier period of Adrian T. Bell's life, when he left his native Newcastle to become a naval cadet at the age of 16.
I left home when I was 16 and joined the Royal Fleet Auxiliary, who were the supply ships to the Royal Navy, but they're merchant manned, and I trained as a navigator. It was brilliant. We went all over the place. I got some tickets through the mail when I was 16 to go and fly out to Canada, and I joined a ship in Prince Rupert and became all sort of like a jolly, basically, down the west coast of the States, through the Panama Canal and up to Barbados and back home for Christmas. That was my first trip in the Navy, and after that, it got a bit mad when I went down the Falklands in 1982. God, I'm that old. And that was when I decided I wanted to leave the thing, because it was a bit too close for comfort, that.
Did you have to kind of grow up fast, being around, I guess, a lot of older sailors when you were quite young?
There's no time to mess around. People treat you as adults, and you're expected to act like it, and you have to forget all your kiddiness and get on with things.
That was the early 80s, Cold War times. Did you ever have any encounters with the other side, so to speak?
Yeah, we went. Well, I don't know, can I say this on radio? We used to go up to for 10 weeks up to the North Pole, and we were harassing the Russian fleet, and they were harassing us and chasing us around and stuff like that. And that was quite good. That was actually quite good fun.
When you say harassing, what do you mean?
Trying to find their navigation equipment and stuff like that, you know, like that was under the seabed.
So you could have provoked World War III?
No. I think everybody was just playing around, you know, like everybody was like really kind of polite to each other. There was never any bad situations, no firing or anything, but we were chased by these Russian trawlers, masquerading as trawlers, but actually they're kitted out with high-tech radio equipment and radars and all sorts of stuff. And you can see the aerials coming out of these fishing boats, and you go, that's not really a fishing boat.
To jump hugely forward in time, how did you end up moving here to Prague?
I met my wife in Greece. I'd been in England a few years. I'd studied. I'd gone to Manchester University after I'd left the Navy and studied landscape architecture, which I thought would be a good idea. But after a few years, I thought, this is kind of boring. I went back to work in a yacht in Greece, and then I met my wife there one summer. Not in the yacht, but we met someone one weekend, and she said, "Fancy coming back to Prague?" And I said, "Yeah, why not? It's another adventure."
Had you ever been here before that?
I hadn't. No, I knew nothing about it. It's the whole mystification of the East that we lived with in those days. That nobody really knew what was beyond the Berlin Wall, really.
What were your impressions on your first trip here?
Well, you've been here the same amount of time, haven't you? So that it's changed a lot in the time. People have always been very nice. They're always like a bit dour. I got used to that after a few years, and
I don't even notice it anymore.
I'm aware of when they're trying to be happy more than when they're being dour. So like, it doesn't sort of fit when a Czech waiter comes up and smiles at you. And but anyway, it was very grey times actually. I remember everything being very really cheap, but this is just reminiscing, isn't it? I don't think it probably was that cheap.
Well, I think it was pretty cheap.
Beer was only 12 crowns a pint or something like that, or per half a litre. So it was a good time because I met my new woman in my life and big adventure, you know. I just like putting things together, and it was much more affordable to live here than it was in England at the time. I can remember it just being a great time.
I guess a lot of foreigners like myself came here and were kind of drifting and eventually ended up staying. But because you moved here for your now wife, did that mean that you became integrated into Czech culture a little more quickly than a lot of us expats?
I kind of avoided contact with expats. I just didn't know many. I was with my wife and I went and tried to learn Czech, which didn't go too well for the first year. And then I joined a darts team here. Czech darts team, and that's when I learned my language and got a lot more mates and stuff. And actually came third in the first Czech Open darts tournament here, which is like a big surprise to me because I was just a pub player, you know. But they just started off. The year after that, I completely lost because people caught on and actually got good at the game. So I was beaten badly. So I didn't mix with expats so much. And actually, I tried to get jobs in companies where they spoke Czech.
And how's your Czech now? One reason that I ask is because I know your wife is a novelist. Can you read her novels?
Of course, yeah. My comprehension is excellent. I still have, and there's a lot of English people have here, a problem with pronunciation and speaking the language because it is an extremely difficult language. But my Czech is good. Everybody says it's good. But they say that after 20 years, it should be a bit better.
I wanted to ask you about how you got into singing. I understand you kind of fell into it.
I didn't so much fell into it, I was like dragged into it by my friend at the time who was working in an advertising agency who had a band. It's called Martin Prickrill. He heard that I played guitar and I had a recording from somewhere I gave to him and let listen to, and he was looking for a new singer. And he asked me to come along for a jam. I said I was only going for a jam, but when I got there, I was introduced as the new singer, and there was a bass player there and a drummer there, and so that's when it sort of kind of took off.
And how was it? I guess you're about 40 at that time. How was it actually going on stage? I can understand recording or, you know, rehearsing, but going on stage for the first time, I guess.
I never thought of myself as anywhere. I was always the guy who was standing in the watching gigs and stuff like that. I never really. Back in my mind, I'd sort of left that in my 20s, that sort of dream, whatever. But actually, I found that once I started doing it, it's like kind of a drug, you know. You can't. It gets under your skin. You go, I have to do this again. It's really good. It's good fun. But the first time I went on stage, I was bricking it, as they say, because it was, what the hell am I doing here? You know, I wasn't really the type of person who wanted to stand in front of people and do that sort of thing.
Your band is The Prostitutes. What have been the highlights of your years with the band?
We've won Album of the Year and stuff when Old Filter magazine was out. We've played in some great venues, played the Colours of Ostrava, we've been to the Tour of Spain once. We've just played a lot of gigs, basically, and you know, I think the highlight for me is being able to go and travel around the Czech Republic.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. I always think it must be great for anybody in a band to see all these small towns and out-of-the-way places you wouldn't go otherwise.
You don't, and I'm all surprised how friendly people are and how welcoming they are everywhere. they don't so much like Prague's big city, much like London is in England. But once you get out, the people are friendly, kind, and they always seem to enjoy themselves more at concerts than they do in Prague. Maybe Prague's sort of too
people are jaded, spoiled. They have a kind of impress me attitude, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you played in any particularly unusual or unlikely venues around the country?
We played once for 10 skinheads who had forgotten to go home. This club had booked us, but forgot to advertise it. I don't know, for some reason, whatever. And we were standing there, and we realised there was just these 10 skinheads there and us, and they looked pretty aggressive, but whatever, they actually enjoyed the concert. They'd forgotten to go home because there was a punk party the night before or something like that. I don't know.
After so many years with The Prostitutes, what led you to do your solo album?
Basically, we've got all this stuff, ideas, hanging around and playing on the road all the time. We never really had time to make up new stuff and playing the same stuff over and over again in each concert, which gets kind of boring. And the lads had been, for one reason or another, had been less active 1 year. And I decided that I'd actually want to get on with this and do some more because I can't just let this music lie around and not do anything with it.
Well, obviously it's gone very well. You've won the Apollo Award. I was wondering if there was any kind of sniffery reaction at all from people to the fact that you were nominated and won, but you're not Czech. It's the Czech kind of critics' award, like the equivalent of the Mercury Prize, for example.
I've been here for 20-odd years, and I know a lot of people in the music industry here and the business, and they all take me as being, as they say, domáci, which is a homeboy. I haven't had any bad reaction from it at all. Nobody said, you don't deserve this because you're not Czech. I've lived here for 20 years. I've been part of the music scene just as much part of the music scene as a lot of bands or anybody else, you know, so like.
Well, the album came out, I believe, at the tail end of 2013.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess for you it's kind of old news. Are you working on anything new or have you got anything else on the way?
I'm planning to do another album with the same guy I did that one with, A Different World with, Michael Rendell. He's works with Youth of Killing Joke. He's also a producer. He produced the Prostitutes album last time. And I couldn't afford Youth. And I noticed that Michael was actually doing all the work. As much as he was sitting there smoking joints in the background and talking about, you know, about construction of songs and blah, blah, blah. It was actually Michael who did all the work. And that's why I asked him to produce my album, the last one. He loved to do it because he's got his own vision. He doesn't want to be all his life Youth's sound engineer. So he said, oh yeah, I'll come and do it. So we got him together, and I'm going to do the next album with him as well, hopefully in May, if I can get the money together for it.
Adrian T. Bell there speaking to Ian Willoughby. If you've any comments on today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be very glad to hear from you. But for me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much for joining us, and goodbye.